Tired of being in the dark about your investment? How does your portfolio's performance really measure up? Is your investment plan on or off track? Get the answer at PortfolioReportCard.com. Ron DeLegge's grading system of A, B, C, D, or F will tell you if your 401k plan, IRA, or other investment account passes or fails. But that's not all. If your portfolio gets an A, Ron will pay you $100. Go to PortfolioReportCard.com and find out if you pass or fail.
You're listening to the Index Investing Show. This is America's only weekly program focused on the important stock and bond indexes and the financial products that track them.
And now presenting your host,
Ron DeLegge. Ron DeLegge.
Coming up on today's show, did you miss this year's biggest investment themes? Well, I'm going to share with you four. Stay tuned for that. Also coming up, how long will stock market volatility stay subdued? Yes, the VIX has been falling near its 52-week lows, and stock market volatility has been pretty quiet. We'll get you caught up on that. Also, my program guest is going to be Andrew Martin. He's president at 712 Advisors. They're an SEC-registered investment advisor based in Nashville, Tennessee. We're going to talk with him about longevity risk. We're going to talk also about that 60-40 investment portfolio of stocks and bonds and help you understand that that's not a fully diversified portfolio, although it's often sold that way. So stay tuned for that. If you'd like to join us to talk about a particular stock, mutual fund, ETF, or investment strategy, 877-711-5611 is the number. Give us your first name along with your city. You can also follow me on Twitter and tweet the program live. At Index Show is my Twitter handle. And for whatever reason, if you're not able to catch our regular radio broadcast live, you can also pick up our archived shows via podcast. Just search under the Index Investing Show on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. So let's begin with, did you miss this year's biggest investment themes? I just want to cover four. And, you know, keeping track of the global macroeconomic trends can be a daunting task. And for that reason, one of the things I do at ETFguide.com for our subscribers is we publish and we organize and rank something called our Mega Investment Theme Report. And what we do is we rank and organize those trends by their order of significance or order of importance. And so I want to share with you just a few of this year's biggest investment themes. I mean, there's many, but obviously there's some that are more important than others. But one of the biggest ones in 2014 has been commodities just getting crushed. Now, all of the hyperinflationary dreams of commodity bulls have been absolutely shot dead. As a group, commodities have fallen around 27% in value since 2011, and many individual sectors within the commodity space, like oil, are down even more. Now, over the past year alone, light crude oil is down around 31%. So oil has gotten creamed. Even defensive-oriented precious metals have gotten clobbered. The ETFs Precious Metals Basket Shares, as ticker symbol GLTR, holds a basket of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. It's down almost 29% over the past 4 years. So this is, again, just a symptom of the poor performance in the commodity sector. And now I want to just mention something that I think is important here. From a diversification perspective, the horrific performance of commodities, not just in 2014, but just over the past several years, does not in any way diminish their role as a diversification tool within your portfolio. This is still a major asset class, and it's still an important component of a fully diversified portfolio, regardless of how horribly the historical performance has been for commodities. So that's just one of this year's biggest investment themes, commodities getting crushed. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Index Investing Show, 877-711-5611 is the number. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. We're here every week at this same hour. Now, another one of the major investment themes that's unfolded in 2014, and this is one that we've talked about rather consistently on the program, those of you that like to overweight specific industry sectors within the market, well, here's one that's just been blazing saddles, and that's the healthcare sector, ticker symbol XLV, which tracks S&P healthcare stocks, again, XLV, V like Victor. The booming healthcare sector has been among this year's biggest investment themes. And healthcare stocks within the S&P 500 are up around 30%. And another much smaller segment of this healthcare sector, but one that's just been sizzling, is biotech stocks, which have jumped almost 40% since the start of 2014. Ticker symbol IBB is one of the ETFs that tracks biotech stocks. This does not change the fact that biotechs are still, you know, a what we might say a speculative sector. Many of these companies are startups. Many of them are not profitable. Many of them don't have established brands or established products. So certainly, I think that makes the case for investing, if you're going to invest in biotech stocks, doing it in a diversified way instead of trying to gamble on individual biotech stocks. A diversified basket, something like ticker symbol IBB, fits the bill. Now, both of these sectors, healthcare, the broader healthcare sector, as well as biotech, are easily outperforming the broader U.S. stock market, which has gained around 16% since the beginning of the year. So those are two major investment themes. We're going to have four altogether. We just talked about commodities getting crushed and the healthcare sector blazing ahead. I've got two more for you. And we're also going to talk a little bit later on today's show with Andy Martin. He is the president at 712 Advisors. And we'll be talking about some of the things that impact how we live and how we invest. I want to talk about longevity risk, what that means, and some of the things that you need to be aware of to prepare your portfolio for that. Also, will stock market volatility stay subdued? My goodness, take a look at the VIX. You want to talk about a measure of complacency in the stock market. The VIX right now, bottoming and trading near 52-week lows. And this has been something that we just have not seen in the stock market, a sustained level of stock market volatility. Now, I want to take a listener poll. What is the most depressed asset class in the world? Can you tell me what that is? Because the only thing I hear and keep hearing is talks of bubbles. Bubble this, bubble that. This is a bubble, that's a bubble. Well, everyone's talking about bubbles. Let's talk about depressed asset classes. Can you name one of the most depressed asset classes in the world? If you answered volatility, well, you're right on. But again, the problem for volatility bulls is we just haven't had a sustained level of stock market volatility. It hasn't happened in 2014. Now, at the same time, that hardly means that a lack of opportunities to profit from short-term volatility exists. In fact, the opposite is true. And I'm going to share with you on today's show a specific case in point of what has gone on with stock market volatility in 2014. Stay tuned for that. You're going to like what I've got to share with you. This is the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. 877-711-5611 is the number. If you'd like to email the show, ron@indexshow.com is my email address. We're going to get into also the other two major investment themes of 2014. Stay tuned for that. If you'd like to get a portfolio report card where I analyze and grade your investment portfolio in five areas, the only five areas that matter, cost, risk, diversification, tax efficiency, and performance, and then I'll tell you how your portfolio is doing. I don't care if it's a family trust account. I don't care if it's a 401k retirement plan or IRA or Roth IRA or UGMA account or joint account or what have you. Go to portfolioreportcard.com and make the request to get a portfolio report card, a personalized look at how your investments are doing. I'll tell you if you get an A, B, C, D, or F. This is the Index Investing Show. I'm Ron DeLegge. More when I come back.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
Listener poll, what would you say is one of the most depressed asset classes in the world? If you answered volatility, you're right on. And volatility has been just beaten down, of course, that inverse relationship. There is one between stocks and the VIX or volatility. The VIX measures the gyrations of the S&P 500. And generally speaking, if we just look at history, around 80% of the time, there is an inverse relationship between the S&P 500 and the VIX. That means when S&P 500 is up, VIX historically has been down around 80% of the time. And of course, the opposite is true too. When VIX is up, that means the S&P 500 has been down around 80% of the time historically. Now, so far in 2014, we've seen volatility, we've seen spurts is what we've seen, really. And they've been very, very, very brief spurts. Before I tell you about those spurts, though, I want to challenge our audience and ask you if you could name for me a asset class that is more depressed than volatility. I want to hear from you. Throw me some asset classes that you think are more beaten down or undervalued or more depressed than volatility or VIX. You can tweet me your answers at Index Show. You can also email me, ron@indexshow.com. I want to hear from you. See what you think about what are the most depressed asset classes in the world. I can tell you that it's not collectibles. It's certainly not 1952 Ferraris. It's certainly not Andy Warhol paintings or Francis Bacon paintings or art or any of those specialized types of asset classes. But if you can come up with an asset class or investment category that you think rivals volatility in terms of being depressed, let me know. I want to hear from you. Now, getting back to what I was saying earlier about there being a lack of sustained stock market volatility, despite that background, what we have seen are spurts. Now, I drew a chart and I wrote an article about this at etfguide.com. You can read it, titled, How Long Will Stock Market Volatility Stay Subdued? And one of the things I did was I drew a chart of the VIX, which measures the S&P 500's volatility. And you'll see that on a year-to-date basis, if we just go from the very beginning of 2014 through the early December, you'll see VIX is down around 9% year-to-date. But if we look at all of the in-betweens between the beginning of the year up until early December, you'll see that VIX, even though it's down 9% year-to-date, it still has experienced jumps or surges of at least 15% or greater 11 times this year. In other words, pretty much one time per month over the past 11 months, we've had a surge in VIX of at least 15% or greater. And one of those moments was actually an 85% surge that occurred in mid-September to mid-October, and that was a great, great time to be a volatility bull. So what I'm saying here is that the VIX is the kind of asset class that is not a buy-and-hold asset class. It's not a major asset class, something that you would include in your portfolio as a core holding. It fits into the non-core part of your investment portfolio because VIX and volatility is really a non-core asset class. So in terms of portfolio construction, that's where volatility comes in. But this has been an area at ETF Guide for those of you that are into tactical trading. that want to capitalize on the next surge in volatility, this is exactly what we've been telling subscribers to look out for. And so one of the trades that we had alerted readers to was on September 3rd. This was for VIX. We featured the ProShares short-term VIX futures ETF. That's ticker symbol VIXY. We also featured a tandem call options trade on VIXY. And boy, was that a great trade. We got into that position in early September. We exited it on October 21st for a 20% time-stamped profit. And we also exited the final leg of that VIXY call options trade for a 90% timestamp 1 month profit. So those are the short-term opportunities that exist with an asset class like volatility and VIX. 877-711-5611 is the number. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. Great to have you with us. And if you ever want to send me an email question, if you're not able to get in, you can always shoot me an email, ron@indexshow.com. You can also tweet the program live at Index Show is my Twitter handle. And again, just give us your first name along with your city, and we will get to you. I also want to get to some of your emails a little bit later. We'll talk a little bit about some of the things that are on your mind. Coming up in the next segment, Andrew Martin, he's president at 712 Advisors, and we'll be talking about longevity risk, also that 60-40 investment portfolio. And for novice and experienced investors alike, what are some of the red flags or warning signs that you should be aware of that put your money, that put your investments at risk? Stay tuned for that. That's coming up next with Andrew Martin at 712 Advisors. Now, earlier in the show, I talked about this year's biggest investment themes. We mentioned, too, commodities getting crushed. We also talked about the healthcare sector blazing ahead. I want to talk about a few other mega investment themes that have unfolded here in 2014. One of those being long-term bonds outperforming stocks. Now, here's something that we just haven't heard the broader mainstream financial media really articulate and talk about. The only thing we've heard on a consistent basis is, you know, U.S. stocks making one all-time high after another. I mean, that's been the narrative promoted by the mainstream media. But underneath that surface, that superficial surface, is another more important happening, which I think has been quite significant, and that's just the fact that the yield on 10-year U.S. Treasuries has completely shocked and train-wrecked Wall Street by sliding 20% this year. That's what has happened to the yield on 10-year U.S. Treasuries. Now, most Wall Street analysts at the beginning of 2014 wrongly predicted higher yields and lower bond prices. Now, of course, there's an inverse relationship here. Let me just explain that quickly. When yields go up, bond prices go down, and vice versa. When yields go higher, bond prices fall. So it's an inverse relationship. Now, in March at ETFguide.com, we alerted readers, and we also talked about it on this show, that this would be a great trade for those of you that want to capitalize on this theme of lower interest rates and higher bond prices to go long-term U.S. Treasuries. One of the ETFs that tracks that is ticker symbol TLT. That tracks long-term U.S. Treasuries with durations of longer than 20 years. And remember, this segment of the bond market or treasury market is most sensitive to moves in interest rates. So that's why you get the most bang for your buck when interest rates move down. This is where you're going to see the biggest spike in terms of performance. And that is exactly what has happened, not just since March, but really since the beginning of the year. TLT has been an absolute dynamite trade and dynamite investment theme. Long-term treasuries, TLT, have jumped almost 23% versus a 14% gain for the SPDR S&P 500 ETF. So long-term U.S. Treasuries continuing to outperform stocks. I'm Ron DeLegge. This is the Index Investing Show. Coming up next, Andy Martin.
Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
Are you frustrated with how your investments never seem to grow? Do you feel like your investment plan might be off track? Are you concerned about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you're not alone. Get the help you need with Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card. Get a snapshot of your current investments and find out if your financial plan is really on track. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Millions of people are investing blindly in the stock market. Don't be one of them. Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card tells you everything you need to know about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Traditional IRA, Roth IRA, 401k plan, or brokerage account. It doesn't matter what you have. Ron's free portfolio report card will tell you everything you need to know. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Don't invest without it.
Are you confused by the sea of risks that surround you? I mean, there's all types of risks. There's not just financial risk and market risk. There's also something called longevity risk. We're going to talk with that or about that right now with our program guest, Andrew Martin. He's president at 712 Advisors. They're an SEC-registered investment advisor based in Nashville, Tennessee. His Twitter handle, at DollarLogic. Andy, welcome to the Index Investing Show. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you, Ron. Thanks for having me.
So let's begin with this discussion of longevity risk. I think it's something that a lot of us need to be thinking about, especially as the population continues to age and people are living longer. How can people organize, though, their investments to counter longevity risk?
Well, that's a great question, Ron, and it's kind of a funny thing to describe it as a risk. It's an awful thing to say, but longevity risk is that you will live too long or you will outlive your money. My old partner, Todd Colburn, and I would tell our clients that we guarantee you that you will never outlive your money. If we see your money running out, our people will track you down and kill you. Well, luckily, we never had to exercise that option. Seriously, though, a recent AARP Allianz Live poll revealed that 61% are more fearful of running out of their money than actually dying. So this is pretty serious stuff. And according to the National Center for Health Statistics, life expectancy in 1931 was 59 years. Today it's 79 years. So in other words, you have to prepare for 20 years more in retirement than previous generations. This is pretty serious stuff, and we think there's ways to do it.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Index Investing Show. Pleased to be talking with Andrew Martin. He's with 712 Advisors. At DollarLogic is his Twitter handle. You can follow him. Now, we're engulfed with financial propaganda. One of the most common and erroneous beliefs is that a 60-40 investment portfolio of stocks and bonds is fully diversified. Why is that wrong?
Well, let me be the devil's advocate just for a second and say, let's talk about what's right about it. The 60-40 model, which was created by Walter Morgan back in 1929, it was a ninth mutual fund, later called it the Wellington Fund. He basically created balanced investing. It's arguably the most durable investment model ever created. When you compare that model against stocks for the entire lifespan of the first S&P 500 fund that John Bogle started in 1976, balance has actually outperformed just 100% U.S. stocks and done so with 65% of the risk. So there's a lot of good things to say about 60-40 and balanced investing, but we like to expand that beyond those two investment categories of U.S. stocks and U.S. bonds. And when you do so, we believe some some good things can happen, and we can talk about that if you'd like.
Yeah, well, what are some of those other asset classes that you'd like to add to that 60-40 mix in order to have the portfolio be a little bit more diversified?
Well, that's a great question. If you just hold up your hand, you notice you have five digits. Well, that's exactly how many investable assets there are. There's stocks, bonds, cash, real estate, and commodities. Basically, everything is either that or some derivative of that in the investing world. So if you break down stocks and bonds, now you have U.S. and non-U.S. stocks, U.S. and non-U.S. bonds, cash, real estate, commodities. So those are the seven assets, and those are the seven core assets that go into, you described, you know, the name of my company, 712, that goes into the 712 portfolio. When you put those together, if you were to equally weight run those seven assets, and these are index returns now, and you can't invest directly in an index, but if you were to just take those seven indexes, equally weight back in 1970, and hold those till the end of 2013, then what you would have seen is roughly 94% of the return of the S&P 500 with just 46% of the risk, and it outperformed slightly on the return side and on the risk side that standard 60%, 40% balance model.
You're listening to the Index Investing Show. We're pleased to be talking here with Andy Martin. He's with 712advisors.com. He's based in Nashville, Tennessee. Now, let me just play the devil's advocate, since you're playing the devil's advocate with me, about commodities. There's many people making the argument, well, commodities have just been such horrific performers over the past several years. And if you look at the returns, even over going over a longer period of time, let's just go back 20 years, I mean, commodities have just been dead money. Does that make, or is that a valid argument against holding commodities within a portfolio?
Well, it may be a valid argument for holding commodities short term. If you can't commit to them long term, then maybe it would be best to avoid them completely, because they are more volatile than certainly than U.S. stocks. But long term, they are much more of an inflation hedge than U.S. or non-U.S. stocks, and they belong in a well-diversified portfolio.
Now, for both novice and experienced investors alike, what are the red flags or warning signs about their investment portfolios that you think people should absolutely notice and be concerned about and address? What are some things that you see from your experience that get people in trouble?
Well, great question, Ron. If we had 60 minutes, I could probably come up with 60 things. But in a few minutes, I would say that the number one red flag would be over concentration in any one security. So the answer to almost every investing question for me, being a diversified fund manager, is diversification. But let's look at an example of what too much concentration can do. Let's look at the three worst headline investments in the last 20 years. That's Enron, Bernie Madoff, and the wonderful country of Japan. The Enron story is a classic, where the stock went from $90 to zero in 331 trading days and finally died in 2001. We all know about Bernie Madoff. And finally, Japan, the world's third largest economy. The Nikkei is at a 7.5-year peak right now, so everybody's talking about the Nikkei being at 18,000. Well, big deal. On December 29, 1989, it closed at 38,000, so it's 20,000 points below its high. Today's price level at 18,000, it's just a mogul on a giant slalom downhill run. So I bring up those three to say that those are not investment problems. Those are diversification problems. And if you had 10% of your portfolio in Enron, 10% of your money with Madoff, and or 10% of your money, you know, with Japan, you would not have had a problem. The problem with Madoff and Enron in Japan is that there's just too much concentration. So diversification is the key, and I think that will I know that will help resolve this, what I consider to be the number one red flag warning sign in most investors' portfolios.
One thing before you take off, one last thing, I keep hearing about, you know, active investing versus passive investing. I guess the classic question in the debate, you know, which should investors choose?
Well, you know, passive management, it's the odds-on favorite if you absolutely, positively never want to look at your portfolio again. Standard & Poor's said, quote, the only consistent data point we've observed over a five-year horizon is that a majority of active equity and bond managers in most categories lag comparable benchmark indices. But here's the however. If you look at the five-year period ending 2008, the average large value and average large blend stock fund actually beat the passive S&P 500 index. In a bad market, active management can, at times, outperform passive management. So the answer to the question, active or passive, is simply yes. You really got to have both. And I'm coming to you, Ron, as a passive fund manager. So I think you can go with it.
Well, I think that's a great argument, and I think what we're talking really about then is the core being indexed, and then the satellite being actively managed. Great interview, Andy, and again, that was Andrew Martin with 712 Advisors. At Dollar Logic is his Twitter handle, and I'll be right back. Go nowhere!
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
All right, welcome back from the break. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. I'm also the founder and chief portfolio strategist at ETF Guide. Now, every single month we publish our monthly newsletter. The December issue is out. We also have a monthly income trade for those of you looking for more income. We do a covered call strategy on an all ETF portfolio. The December trade is out. We just generated around $600 of monthly income. So you can go to etfguide.com and click on the Profit Strategy newsletter and become a subscriber. Now, another thing that I do on the show is feature portfolios of listeners. And I do that, of course, anonymously. I don't share your personal data that's identifiable. But what I do is dissect and analyze investment portfolios on the show. We do that to help you understand the architecture of your money and whether it's sound or unsound. And I analyze and grade investment portfolios in five areas: cost, risk, diversification, tax efficiency, and performance. And then I assign you a final grade of A, B, C, D, or F. Of course, F is a failing score. A or B are excellent scores. And if you'd like to get a portfolio report card, why? Personally analyze and grade your portfolio, go to portfolioreportcard.com and get in touch with me. Also, if you get an A, I will pay you $100. And we have, I'm in the midst right now of doing a couple portfolio report cards, and I actually have a couple that are looking really good right now. One in particular for a listener in Denver that looks like it could be an A. So stay tuned for that. You'll hear more about that in the coming weeks. Now, one of the major investment themes that we've been talking about for 2014, hopefully you didn't miss them, but there's been four major ones. The first one that I covered earlier in the show is commodity prices just getting absolutely slaughtered. That's been huge. And of course, we've seen it with the oil market and energy prices falling. Also, healthcare stocks, biotech stocks, this has been another mega investment theme for 2014. Also, the outperformance of long-term treasuries, easily beating U.S. stocks, that's been another mega investment theme for 2014. And then one final one that I need to share with you is the R in BRIC getting creamed. Well, what does BRIC stand for? B-R-I-C, that's an acronym for Brazil, Russia, India, and China. And that R that's getting creamed is Russia. How bad have Russian stocks been this year? Take a look at the Market Vectors Russia ETF. That's ticker symbol RSX. It's been slammed 35%, and the worst may yet be ahead. Now, if we look at the entire BRIC as a group in terms of stock performance in 2014, BKF, which is one of the ETFs that tracks BRICS, That includes, again, not just Russia, but you've got Brazil, India, and China. It's declined modestly, not even 1% since the beginning of the year. So Russia, really the worst of all those BRIC countries. And this has been a great opportunity. Those of you that are bears looking to short Russian stocks, one of the best bearish trades of 2014, the Direction Daily Russia Bear 3X shares, ticker symbol RUSS, has soared around 100% in value since the beginning of the year. That's been an awesome trade. So those are some of the biggest investment themes of 2014. Those are just four. And again, you can get the full report. I do a mega investment theme report every month where I summarize and organize the ever-changing mega investment themes. Just go to etfguide.com and click on the Profit Strategy Newsletter. Now, one of the other things I want to talk about before we close out today's show is the worst performance for stock pickers in 30 years. Isn't it a little bit more than a tad bit ironic that of all the times that stock picking fund managers would post their worst multi-decade performance, that it would be smack dab in the middle of a raging bull market? Well, that's exactly what's happening. Never mind how the S&P 500 is about to record its fifth consecutive yearly gain and its ninth gain out of the past 10 years. Ignore all of that. Even with the wind in their sails, professional stock pickers still cannot beat market indexes or the ETFs tracking them. According to Lipper, around 85% of active large cap stock funds have now lagged their yardsticks this year. And it's their worst showing in three decades, according to Lipper. Now think about this. If professional stock pickers are collectively this bad during a good stock market, how bad are they during a bad market? Well, I decided to find out. I went back to the catacombs and the archives of the Index Investing Show, into our museum, into our basement archive, and I dug out the results going back to the two most recent bear markets. Now, that was the one in 2008, and then even before that, that period, that two-year period from 2000 to 2002. And so I went back and I looked at the performance of active managers versus S&P 500, S&P 400, and S&P 600 indexes. And here's what I found. During the 2008 bear market, that was the worst year for stocks since 1931, by the way, the S&P 500 still managed to beat 54% of actively managed large cap funds. How did the S&P 400 do? This is a mid-cap index. It actually outperformed almost 75% of actively managed mid-cap funds in 2008. And what about the S&P Small Cap 600? How did it perform during the 2008 bear market? Well, it also outperformed actively managed small caps. It outperformed 83% of them. What does this show? It proves that in each instance, the statistical odds favored the index investor. Now, that was in 2008. What about the bear market from 2000 to 2002? The dot-com bomb. What were the historical results any different? Well, let's take a look. During the 2000 to 2002 bear market, the S&P 500 outperformed 53% of actively managed large cap funds. Pretty darn good. How about the S&P Mid-Cap 400? How did it do during the 2000 to 2002 bear market? Well, it too managed to beat almost 78% of actively managed mid-cap funds. And what about the S&P Small Cap 600? How did it do? Well, it outperformed almost 72% of actively managed small cap funds. So there's a few things to keep in mind about this historical data. Number one, S&P linked ETFs easily beat active managers during both the 2008 and 2000 to 2002 bear market, despite the distinct disadvantage of being forced to remain fully invested at all times. Here's another key thing to keep in mind. The S&P linked, index-linked ETFs are delivering outperformance with substantially lower fees and substantially better tax efficiency versus active funds. That's another major point. And then one last thing, historical data does not support the propaganda and myth of so-called inefficiencies in mid and small cap equity markets that allegedly favors active managers. The stats don't show that. Now, of course, that's not how mid cap and small cap active funds are sold, right? It's usually under the auspices of, well, this is where you need an active manager because of the inefficiencies in these markets, but that just hasn't been the case. In fact, we've seen small cap and mid cap indexes just blow away the performance of active managers. So the problem here, again, is that pre-identifying the fund managers that are going to outperform in the future is like trying to guess which lottery numbers are going to become tomorrow's winners. It's a loser's game, which means the only way you can win is by not playing the game at all or playing the game by established rules that favor your odds of success. Well, that does it for another episode of the Index Investing Show. Thanks for listening. And until we meet again, may the market indexes be with you.
The opinions expressed in this broadcast are not necessarily that of our advertisers, sponsors, or broadcast partners. The discussion of investing is general and should not be construed as investment advice or an offer to buy or sell securities. Listeners are responsible for their own investment decisions and results. Before investing in mutual funds or ETFs, always consult a prospectus for risk, charges, expenses, and other information. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Past performance is not indicative of future results. No reproduction or dissemination of the Index Investing Show is permitted without the expressed written consent of its producers.